It is a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. It is not something we should take for granted. And it is not something that we deserve. It is a privilege granted to us to come together and worship the Lord and to be called His people. Amen. Myself and Pastor Andres, we're just going to spend a couple of weeks just looking through different aspects of the church, and that has brought just a new appreciation to my heart, just studying into the church again and preparing this week. I know it is a privilege, if you are sitting here this morning, to be a part of His bride. Let's explore it over the next couple of weeks. The bride of Christ is really and truly one of the most incredible things, one of the most incredible expressions the earth has ever seen. She cannot be removed. Over the years, there has been attempts to crush the church, to end the church. The more you crush her, the more she explodes and expands. It is truly God at work. And so we want to look and have a fresh appreciation for the coming together of God's people, the church. The church is dynamic. It's not, she's not one-dimensional. And so let's allow the Lord to give us revelation as He pleases into what He wants us to understand over the next couple of weeks. But it is good to ask yourself for a moment, what are you doing here? Wat doen jy hier? It sounds like a stupid question, but it's a good question. And so maybe let's just take a couple of seconds, and won't you ask the person maybe that came with you, wat doen ons hier as 'n kerk vanoggend? Let me just ask, why are we here? Let's take 30 seconds. Why are we here as a church? Iemand sê die koffie is lekker. Okay, it's not a bad answer, but it's not really the one I'm looking for. So I just want to orientate you a little bit of the approach I'm going to take here. I want to talk this morning through some of the graces given to the church by Jesus, which helps the church to flourish and to grow and to expand and to preserve herself. So I've called this part one because I'm going to take a longer time this morning to just give a little bit of an intro into the church. Just bear with me. Then I'm going to get to two graces given to the church. Pastor Andres will preach next week, also on the church as the Lord leads him. And then the week after that, I will carry on with two more graces given to the church. So just giving you a little bit of a heads up. Now, graces given to the church the Roman Catholics said at one stage, they said the graces given to the church is our mass, the fact that you come together, also that we christen your baby and that we pray for you before you die. These are and the Lord's Supper. These are the graces in the church, which was limiting, and so as the church exploded and become full of the Holy Spirit, we'd realize that the grace of God is not limiting only to when the church comes together. The Roman Catholic Church wanted people to believe that in order to control them. Okay, you only could receive the graces of the Lord when it was administered to you by a priest. Okay. But we know relationship with the Lord is much bigger. And when you go home, He's there with you as well in your personal time of studies. And so I want to just touch on some of the graces given to the church. And I want us to really lean into it the best we can. But just a few definitions. And some of these things are really rabbit holes. Like once you mention it, you want to go deeper into it. But I'm just going to allow myself to go over a few things in order to lay a foundation to get to two graces given to the church. So let me just say this. The church belongs to Jesus, and He is the primary builder. Okay? Husbands loves your wife, and Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself up for her. So what that shows is His complete love to the church. He gives himself completely to his bride. And that is not just a sentimental term. That is history. The way in which he gave his life and laid himself down, being receiving the curse for sin and death and dying that brutal death on the cross, was his love on display for those who would believe in him. He loves the church completely. Isn't that true? Not only does he love the church completely, he is completely involved. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. He is completely involved, walking, scaling the rows of churches around the globe this morning. He is active in building, and he is present. He does not look from afar and points his finger. He gets his hands full of cement as he builds his bride, purifies her. Acts 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. It is also the power of the Lord that builds and grows the church, not the power of man, not the plans of man. Yes, God sends us and releases us, but the bottom line is it is the Lord at work in his church. Therefore, man cannot define and tell church what it is or is not. Man is to give his ear to the Lord, to his instructions, and continue with the revelation that he gives about his church. She belongs to him. Amen. Just one or two more definitions. Just bear with me. One could say the church is the community of all true believers for all time. In one sense, you can say that. You can say, everyone that has ever believed on God and will forever be with him, they are the true church, right? One can say for us this morning, the purpose of a church is to minister to God. How do you minister to God? How do you minister to God? You worship. You worship. One of our purposes in church is to minister to the Lord, the worship of our hearts. That is why we worship and sing. Yes, worship is more, it extends more. It extends into the way then you go home and love your wife and your children and the way you work, yes. But very practically, it definitely includes the way we minister unto the Lord when we gather here. Is it with respect? Is it with awe? You know, a lot can be said about a church's revelation of who God is and how they worship. And it has been something that's been very held dear to shofar as a church since the beginning. We were taught that we were called to be worshipers, to minister to the Lord, to bring our hearts. Isn't that precious? The purpose of a church is also to minister to believers, to minister to one another. Let's be stirred up again. Let's be reminded of what God has on his heart for us. Let's be reminded about our mission, where we are going, how we should please him. And then it's also the purpose of the church then to minister to the world, that they may also know how to minister to God, minister to one another, and then we go and minister to the world. The church is forever three-dimensional. She is alive. She's not a meeting. She's not an institution only with a starting time and an end time. She's alive. She is his bride. Amen. And the last part, I know I'm laying a little bit of a foundation, but bear with me because this is going to help me when I move to the first two graces of a church. The church is invisible and the church is also visible. This is very important because this is going to help us take the graces to heart. The church is invisible. Let's go to 2 Titus 2:19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows who are his. Okay. What it means is, there's a part of church that only God sees. There's a part of faith that is only visible to the eye of the Lord. The Lord knows who are His. So I got a message this morning. It was we've got a little dog. So about 3 o'clock, I was walking on my lawn, trying to potty train the dog. Only to find out this morning in another part of our house, I was actually too late already, which was not a great revelation. But about 3 o'clock, I think I received a message from a member of our church that moved to New Zealand. So they had church around about that time, and he said, just want to let you know, I was at church this morning. It was really amazing to be with the people of God all the way in New Zealand. God sees not only, we only see the people present here this morning, but God sees all of the believers gathering all across the world. All right. Church is invisible in one sense. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, even in the example of Judas, the betrayer, when Jesus was having a feast with the people, he said, there's one here who would betray me. He's not one of us. But possibly John leaned, the disciple whom Jesus loved, leaned onto Jesus' chest and asked him what? What did he ask Jesus? Who is it? Why did he ask, who is it? Because they did not know. They did not know that the heart of one of the 12, one who has been partaking in all they did as they traveled, they did not know which heart was the heart that did not truly belong to Jesus. But you see, God sees the invisible church as well. This is very important. It's going to bring us to one or two hard things to stomach as well this morning. But we have to put it through our system, because this is the truth, and the truth sets us free and helps us, all right? One could say the invisible church is the church as God sees it. How healthy is a church? Well, there's one who can see very clearly. He cuts through the crowd and he sees what's going on. And that is referred to as the invisible church. So in our time, let's start to apply a little bit. In our time of worship here today, we were gathering as a visible church. We're going to get to that. But God saw worship in a deeper fashion than what you and I can behold. Are you with me? He beholds, he sees the one heart. Maybe there was a heart here this morning starting to warm up to God for the very first time. And it is not apparent for the naked eye here. Oh, but he knows. And he sees, and he's helping, ushering you to fall madly in love with him. What we can also say then is that God can see all the believers and we simply cannot. Now, the application for that is at one moment in time, just because we are all together, and I'm talking about churches in general, please, just give me the grace to get this through. It does not mean everyone here is born again. Okay. I'm just saying, in churches, when churches meet, it does not mean everyone is born again. Are you with me? And that is not necessarily a bad thing. Let me explain. Don't throw me with a shoe. We are called to preach the good news to the lost. All right. So when the lost, those who are still seeking the Lord, comes to church and we start, everyone in the building is not born again. Are you with me? All right, but the Lord knows. All right, and that is great. And if you are seeking the Lord, you are so welcome here. That's where we want you to be, all right? But just because everyone is in one space, it does not mean everyone is born again yet. All right, that is the good part. Okay. The tough thing to hear, but we must get it through our system because we want to grow in the Lord, is that it can also be the case that you fellowship with a church for such a long time that you assume that the faith of the others are automatically also yours. Okay. In that case, someone once said the saddest way to hell is through the church. In that case, it's very sad if it is true that a person is a part of a group, maybe similar to Judas, not knowing that they've not yet opened their heart. Then there's grace this morning. Amen. There's grace. And that is the difference. We're going to go now to the visible churches. The visible church consists of believers and unbelievers with the hope, with faith that the unbelievers will also come to salvation in Jesus. All right. We are talking about the church, wanting to understand a little bit better. Okay. Uniformity does not mean all faith is the same. That's why God sees into the heart. And so it is a good thing to ask yourself what I ask myself this morning. Am I born again? Good question. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid of asking the important questions. But the church is also visible. I know I'm touching on some nerves, but allow me, let's just stay with me. There's grace. So Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, to the church that is in Corinth. All right. Greet also the church in their house. So the word for the word church in its context can mean the church right here, all right, but also the church in Afghanistan. We're talking about all the little groups, house churches, churches in Afghanistan, or the church of God, the world, all right. So we must know what we are talking about when we talk, all right. Churches are also visible. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, and an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. All right. Then also in the visible church, we get to minister to one another, and these are things we can see and experience. All right. So this morning, Hendrik and the team, they were ministering to us their gifts. It is visible to us, audible. We can hear and see. We can partake. So the church is not only invisible. Dat ou Afrikaanse gesegde, né? Die Here ken my hart. Moenie met my praat oor God se goed hier, dis ek en hy. Now, yeah, that's having your heart on a part of the truth. It must be true. You must really have a relationship with the Lord. But we must come out and enjoy the visible church with one another, where our gifts come together. Are you with me this morning? The church is also visible. Moreover, he must be well thought of, talking about elders, thought of by the outsider so that he may not fall into disgrace nor a snare of the devil. What is being said there about the elders is that their faith should be visible in such a way that they are well thought of. Okay. So when a heart truly transforms and starts to follow the Lord, it becomes visible through expression to those in the surrounding areas. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see. Okay, the church is invisible, but the church is also visible. The visible church is the church as people see it. Okay, now here is where we are humble, and we should say, but we don't see everything. You know, we are not always right. So Lord, help us. So we have the Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to honor the Lord. Because the way in which we see it might be accurate to some extent, but it is not perfect in accuracy as with the Lord, the way he sees. Okay. A little bit of a long intro, but it will help us going forward. So now, I'm going to go to graces given to the church by Jesus. I'm going to end before this morning. We're only going to do two. What you do with these is you ask yourself, have I taken this grace as a grace into my own life? Have I made this a cherished part of my life? Because what Jesus has given to the church, he has given to those who would come to him and forever be with him. And so when the graces that Jesus gives to the church goes to the world, they say, we don't really need that. This is not really what I want or need. But when it is given to God's people, it is cherished. It is wisdom, it is life, but to the world it is foolishness. And so what we do now is we bring our hearts and we say, Lord, am I alive in this area? Am I doing well in this area? Have I taken up? And that's a good way for you to bring yourself back under the Lord, or maybe to the Lord for the very first time. The first grace given to the bride is the word. It's the word of God. It is the first grace given to sustain and preserve the church of which you and I are a member. Now follow me. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word. Okay. It is not the pastor that brings people to salvation. It is the word of God, the message of God alive in this earth. It's not on the screen, but James 1 verse 18, by his own will he brought us forth by the word. When the word goes out, the word works. And it brings people to salvation through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Romans 10 verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Now the problem with this one here is I'm tempted to quote an unending amount of scripture. So I have to just reel it back and get to what I want to say about this. Let's go to Isaiah 55 verse 11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. The word is more powerful than the pastor. And the word is always bigger and greater than any specific congregation. Now, when a congregation looks at the word of God and see something they don't like, and they say, no, in this church, we will not accept that, but this, they have declared that the church is not under the word, but that church is over the word. And that is a church you must leave. All right. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciplines multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. The word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied. What we see throughout history, where the word of the Lord increases, salvation increases. Where the word of the Lord in a country flourishes, the people flourishes. If there's a drought in the world, there is a drought for the people living in that country. It is a painful place to live. Where the gospel, where the word of God is shut out of a nation, it is a terrible nation. But where the word of God abounds, there is life and love and many wonderful things to be found. Are you with me this morning? Now, all scripture is breathed. Now, so let's take it a little bit more personal. Because we're talking about a grace. Listen, why is the word of God a grace given to the church? Because it is what makes the church grow. It is a grace. We can carry on with church without everything we see here. The building, we can meet on the beach. We don't need mics. We can meet in smaller groups. But we will cease to exist without the word of the Lord. It is not a nice to have. It is a grace. It is critical to the life of a church. But also to the individual. Follow me here. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training. Okay, so the word of God also comes to us like a sharp knife and cuts on us to correct us, to help us. Jeremiah writes, your words were found, and I ate them. This is very important. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. How do you know, as an individual being here this morning, whether you have this grace given to the church at work in your life? It's a very important question. Because If, for example, a person says, I've got no relationship or affection for the Word of God, there is no faith there. So it's a very important question. So my heart is to serve us in a way that God can help us, bring us to faith if we need to come to faith, or bring us back. Because maybe we are distracted. I often get distracted. How do I know this grace is active and working in my life? One or two ideas. When the Word of God is not only something I can quote and argue about, but something I cherish in my heart, personally. The Pharisees knew it. To know what some terms mean and to want to maybe tell others to believe in the same way, it's not a sign that the grace is falling in your life in the way it should. If it is personally cherished and taken in and loved by you, that is a sign of health. This is another way to think about it. If the Word is truly accepted by me, I love and embrace the parts that helps me flourish, but I also embrace the parts that ask of me to change. The world also reads books that helps them flourish at home. Come on. Anyone wants to read a book that helps them have a better relationship with their wife or do better at work. And the Bible helps us with that. That is true. But the way to assess whether it has gone in is whether, if it tells you something about your life that is wrong, that you delight in correcting, repenting, changing the way you think in order to fall in line with the Word of God. Assess yourself and bring yourself maybe into life. The world wants the parts of the Bible that helps them flourish in certain areas, but they don't want the truth when God requires change and repentance. So in this sense, the grace of the Word, what it does, it preserves the church to remain when your grandchildren also has children and goes to church on a Sunday morning. She will remain because of the Word given. And personally, let us take it up. Are you with me this morning? It's very silent. This is tough to digest, as Pastor Andrew says. Eat it slowly. Chew it slowly. To the world, the Word will be a nuisance and an irritation to comfort and preferences. But if we can go one slide back again. But to the one who belongs to the Lord, who has softened his heart, when they find the words, even the words that disagrees with some of the stuff they do, believe, or have always done, and they discover, eat the Word, it becomes to them a joy and a delight. What the honor for me to reinterpret my own life and not to reinterpret the Bible. Take up that grace in your life personally as well. Another grace that God has given the church, I call this friendship and accountability, but it will fall under the umbrella of the fact that God gives fellowship to the church. Okay? And I'll end with this one this morning. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Galatians 6 verse 2, just remember that one. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm going to come back to that one. Where am I going with this? I'm going to a relationship that really matters. Better is an open rebuke than a hidden love. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. The friend, what that scripture is telling us is the friend that becomes an echo chamber for you and echoes back what you need to hear to continue in your disobedience, they are pretending to be your friend. They are not your friend. They are helping you and setting you up to lose things that's very precious to you. But an open rebuke or faithful are the wounds means the true words of a friend that brings truth into your life is a grace from the Lord. But it is a grace not accepted by the world. But we are not of this world. Oil and perfume makes the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. If you open your heart for the work of a spirit to build deep, meaningful relationship with other people that wants to be disciples of the Lord, you will find the sweetest of fellowship there is to find on this earth. Those who come with earnest words into your life to help you and to assist you. Watch out for the one who always echoes what you want to hear. They are interested in themselves. That's why they don't want an uncomfortable conversation with you. Now, when we read this scripture, the next one, Galatians 6 verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens, which is a grace given to us in the church. Let's just read it with the previous verse. Brother, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. How do I know whether I have received the grace of friendship and discipleship for myself? How do I know whether I am also drinking from this grace poured into the church by the Lord? That's a very important question. Now, I want to ask one or two questions that might help us this morning. This will be a tough one. My co-starter. If I am...